Make us a favorite button on your browser.
If you click it, you'll go to that page.
TalkZone.com, your first choice for talk on the Internet. You're listening to Relationship Management on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, Dr. Wayne Thompson.
And we're back here at Relationship Management, and we're continuing with our discourse on the tripartite relationship of school, parents, and children seeking to attain excellence in education. When we look at how the world is moving, it is imperative that our children become well-balanced. And you know, being well-balanced means that you have to recognize that you live in a changing world. And one of the diseases that we really have to deal with is that of bullying. So, speaking about gossiping and spreading rumors, what about intentionally excluding someone? Very unique, subtle ways in which many of us practice bullying. And many children learn this from their parents. They watch parents organizing a family function, and they're not inviting Uncle Joe, just in a subtle way of intentionally leaving that person out. When these types of acts are carried out, whether it's direct or in a subtle form, both result in victims becoming socially rejected and isolated. Okay? They result in victims becoming socially rejected and isolated. When our children feel socially rejected and isolated, many of them can become deeply depressed. They can come depressed to the point whereby taking their own life seems like green pastures to them. It is time for us to recognize that we cannot continue to downplay these kinds of acts and behaviors that would socially reject and isolate individuals. It is certainly wrong for us to do that. Now, here's something that's interesting. Boys tend to use physical intimidation or threats regardless of the gender of their victims. When we practice these types of behaviors, boys become very easy to single out in terms of behavior that is not acceptable. Why is this? Because boys are physical in nature, roughhousing, catching lizards, snakes, and frogs at an early age, spinning top, slapping the baseball. So they learn to develop physical prowess at a very early age. If we don't teach them to become conscious and emotionally balanced, then one of their main modems of operating is going to be through physical force. And so this is why boys tend to use physical intimidations or threats, regardless of whether they're dealing with boys or girls. Because what is actually happening now is that many of these boys who practice this, this actually becomes a medium of communication. Wow. This becomes a medium of communication. And we need to recognize then how this can cause so many problems in our wider society when we start to have males, that are using physical intimidation and using threats and aggressiveness as a means of intimidating other persons. This is not the way that we should be going, okay? So what happens then is boys become targeted very quickly by institutions as being a major threat, because they use the same tactics against both boys and girls. Now, bullying by girls is more often verbal. And as a result of this, that being so, and usually it takes place with or against another girl or a few girls. And since girls are considered very emotional and always gossiping and always tended to be talking, there is a tendency for us to downplay the impact and the behaviors and tactics that girls use towards bullying. Girls tend to do a lot of exclusions as well, too, and a lot of gossiping and the spreading of rumors. What is unique about these categories, these types of tactics, is that they're not as easily noticeable. And so as a result of this, we tend to minimize the impact that girls are actually having in the school environment. But if the truth really be told, girls are playing an integral role even in boys becoming aggressive in their tactics towards others. You know, when we look at schools in the Bahamas, one of the things that the researchers found is that the security officers are checking the boys in at the entrance to the school campus. The girls are not checked. But during the school day, and the fights break out and the weapons are pulled out, knives and all sorts of other things, where are they coming from? Well, the girls are actually bringing them to school because the girls have a more subtle way of getting involved with gossiping, spreading rumors, belittling others, and instigating fights. This is just as deadly as physical force. Now, since the onslaught of the information superhighway, we've recognized over the last 10 years that cyberbullying is a growing problem. This is what took place at Rutgers when an 18-year-old freshman had the privacy of his dorm invaded by a roommate and another freshman girl when they videotaped him and put it on Facebook. Girls in online chat rooms and emails and text messaging are deeply involved in a high level of bullying that's on the cyberlink side. And so make no mistake about it. This is a major problem for both boys and girls. But because girls tend to use a lot of cyber chat rooms and a lot of gossiping and the spreading of rumors and emails and things like that, you tend to overlook that. But this is creating a catastrophic problem. And our schools cannot be made responsible for all of this. Bullying is a common experience for many children and teens, and direct bullying seems to increase through the elementary school years, peak in the middle of school years, that's like the junior high school years, and a tendency to decline during the high school years. Although direct physical assaults seem to decrease with age, verbal abuse appears to remain constant, and this is a growing concern. Whether the bullying is direct or indirect, the key component of bullying is physical and or psychological intimidation that occurs repeatedly over time to create an ongoing pattern of harassment and abuse. And it is definitely wrong. And it is not acceptable. Okay? And if we're going to be a full partner with the educational institutions to the growth and the development of our children in education, parents and guardians have got to recognize that they play an integral role in the conscious level thinking of their children, in establishing respectful expressions and or boundaries. Now, what are the types of students that engage in bullying? Well, students who engage in bullying behaviors seem to have a need to feel powerful and also a need to be in control. Okay, the pathology of research shows that the students who engage in bullying have a very strong need to feel powerful and in control. They appear to derive satisfaction from inflicting injury and suffering on others. And they also seem to demonstrate very little empathy for their victims, and often these students who bully will defend their actions by saying that their victims provoked them in some way. Now, this is very interesting because what I see coming out of this description is that we have many children who feel unheard, who feel neglected, who have no voice at home, who do not get any attention. And as a result of not getting core needs met, they have to find another environment where they can be heard. And the pain of not being heard at home is so powerful that the bitterness and the resentment and the anger that grows in them in the school environment, they have a strong need to demonstrate to people that I am somebody. You will hear me. You will feel my power. And I must have control. Schools were not designed to have to deal with these types of attitudes and chronic thinking distortions. But yet the vast majority of students that are entering schools today come with these kinds of mindsets. No wonder why there is a challenge with education. We'll be back right after this.